Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Good afternoon, Hope Elim. Oh, hold on. Y'all, this is 11 o'clock, y'all. This is 11. Good afternoon, Hope Elim. Oh, there you are. All right, real quick. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I come to bring hope. So listen. Listen. I don't know who this is for, but listen. He is speaking. That's what the song said. Listen. Just listen. Isaiah 40, listen. It's the voice of someone shouting. Listen. I don't know who that is for, but you've been in a wilderness season of your life, and there's a voice that you've been hearing. Listen. Not just hear. Ooh. Listen. You've been asking God to make a way, he says. Shh. Listen. He is speaking. It's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness. See, God wants to make a way through somebody's wilderness today, but all you have to do is, because he is speaking. A lot of times when we are in the wilderness season, it's hard to hear God. But a lot of times, all we have to do is, I don't know about you, but when I get into a wilderness season of life, I get to doing too much because I want to get to my next destination. I don't want to be in a place where there's no fruit. I don't want to be in a place where there's dry land. I don't want to be in a place where there's isolation or separation. But God has a funny way of giving us what we need when we listen. Your kids, for those that are parents, your kids sometimes have a hard time listening. But you always say, if you would listen, I would have given it to you. But now you in timeout because you didn't listen. Hold up. I'm just saying, sometimes we get in timeout. There's things that get cut off. And we are wandering in the wilderness because we didn't. I don't know who that's a word for, but God says all you have to do is listen, and your whole situation about to be changed around. My name is Julian Dismute. I get the privilege and the honor to be able to preach here. I love this church. I love what God is doing in this city through this church. I love all you guys because you guys make this church really what it is. We can't do what God has called us to do alone. I love our pastors, Brian and John, ministers Bonnie, myself, I get to come up here, Ryan, Kalasar. I mean, there's so many different people that God will use as a voice in the wilderness. So today, my heart is this for you, that you would, whoever caught that, if you just catch that today, your life is going to be transformed. Because today we're going to be talking about some stories. But really, the focus today is going to be about wandering in the wilderness to walking in the overflow. Listen. Listen. Also, before I get ahead of my message, I got this word for somebody. It was in the song that we were singing, The Good News. I started out this way last time, and I was like, do I want to start that way? Then the Lord was like, start it out this way again. This is good news. If you're breathing, it is for you. An empty grave to a life that's changed. It all points to Jesus. Not Julian, not Brian, not John. Walking in the overflow, he is the overflow. We get the privilege and the honor of walking in his overflow. And that's the good news for someone, because it says, if you have been searching and nothing's been working, listen, y'all. I got good news. Jesus loves you. We should have got a bigger shout because of that, but here's the thing. No. That's good. A lot of times we don't think it's that simple. If we would just grab that simple truth that God loves us, your whole situation would change.
Amen.
But so many of us have been wandering in the wilderness so long that we feel like God doesn't love us. And so now our life is not good news, it's bad news. And now we're complaining. And now we're grumbling, and now we're mumbling, and now our hearts are cold. And now we don't have time to give to God because now we got to pay for this mortgage. So now we have to be a workaholic and work and work and do all these different things. And God was like, it don't take all that. If you would know who is the true provider, if you knew that I own a cattle on 1,000 hills, you would take a Sabbath. Uh-oh. God wants to take us from wandering in the wilderness to walking in overflow. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, today, God, have your way in the wilderness. Have your way today, God. Touch the hearts of those that need a fresh touch. Quench the thirst of those that are thirsty, God. Open up the eyes of the blind and those that cannot hear, God. Give them back their hearing, God. I feel the Lord saying that he is going to open up your ears today in the name of Jesus, that they would listen to your word as it goes forth, God. You say, God, when you hear my word, he says, harden not your hearts. So dear Lord, may their hearts become soft and receive all that you have for them. Even now, God, we give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Wandering in the wilderness can be a dry place, y'all. Y'all been dry before? I don't know about y'all, but when I get dry, I be breaking out in eczema. Hey, I went to the beach. We had vacation last week. Went to the beach. Boy, I was putting on that Lubriderm and that lotion on me, boy. Because when we dry, it's uncomfortable. A lot of times when we're in a dry space, it's embarrassing. Right? Because we feel like, man, I should be in a different season of life. So the wilderness can be very dry sometimes. And you guys remember sandpaper? Right? Dry, but can be rough. Wilderness, man, it ain't for the weak. It'll humble you. So a dry place. But sometimes you're in the wilderness because of just some death. Maybe there's some death happening in the family. Maybe it's not just people that's dying. Maybe it's your marriage that's dying. Maybe it's your relationships that are dying. Maybe you feel empty and broken on the inside. You feel like internally you're dying. Or maybe you got a diagnosis and the doctor says that you're dying. Wilderness season. And it causes us to wander a lot of times. Maybe there's dysfunction, not even in your marriage. How about you just trying to keep your family together? Sometimes that can be very dry, hard, rough, especially if you come from a very broken family where there's just so much dysfunction that you just like, I'm just going to actually just not even wander. I'm just going to chill in the wilderness. I'm just going to live in the wilderness. I'm just going to be this because my mama and my daddy passed this on to me. I'm just going to be this way. Sometimes we just settle in the wilderness. But God says, no, I don't want you to. But here, there's danger in the wilderness. Divorce in the wilderness. Some people go to divorces. One particular story I think about is The woman at the well. Five husbands. She was thirsty, y'all. She was trying to find something to quench her thirst. Let's just keep it a buck. Sometimes we keep going back to things that do not fulfill us. And we're wondering why we're thirsty. And here's the thing. When you've been trying to get a drink and it don't fill it up, now you go to the next thing, and it's like the next promotion. Oh, I need to get the next job. Nope, I need to move to the next state. And you keep drinking. You keep trying. It ain't working. You're getting thirstier and thirstier. Now you're desperate. And now you're running away. Now you're falling deeper into sin. And now you're blaming it on God. Wilderness season. Tough. But we've all been there, right? Maybe it's disease. In the wilderness, your body feels like it's withering away. You know, you see people that don't have enough, they get skinny, right? Like, you know, like malnourished because they're in the wilderness. They don't have enough to eat. The body is rejecting the things that it should have. And now you just feel like you're in the wilderness season. And there's nothing that you can do about it because you know that you're at the end of the tunnel. You're at the end of your life. And you're like, what is my family going to be like? What is my marriage going to be like? What's my husband going to be like? Like, you're starting to think like, oh, my gosh, I'm at the end of my rope. He says, hold up. Hold up. Whew. I got more for you in the wilderness. Sometimes when you're in the wilderness, can I just be real? You feel like God is not with you in the wilderness. We get to wandering, looking for God. And a lot of times, let's just get to it, because this is where we all, because we've all been to the wilderness. You know why we've all been to the wilderness? Listen, disobedience. Absolutely. Everyone in this room can relate to being in a wilderness season because of what we think we needed to have. Something that we should not have touched, we touched, and now we got burnt. And God told you not to do it. But because we got flesh on us, because we needed to have our cake and eat it too, and because there's a way that seems right to a person and it leads to destruction, because we didn't know the word, and because of the family that we were born into, we disobeyed God, and now we're stuck in between a rock and a hard place. Disobedience and disbelief. You guys remember Numbers 32:13, right? Where Israel, right, they just got delivered from Egypt. And now they are in the wilderness, getting ready to transition to the overflow, abundance, prosperity. The thing that they had as an inheritance, it was already theirs. Now they complaining to God. They mad because they don't have what they had in slavery. Oh, my God, sometimes, listen, y'all. We'll keep going back to things we know ain't good for us. Some of us keep doing the same thing, and we know we're not even supposed to be doing it. But since it's because it's a habit and it's a hang up, we get hung up, and now we ain't got no hope. And now we stuck. We stuck in the place that God delivered us. And you may not be stuck there physically, but some of us be stuck there mentally, emotionally. The healing has already happened, but God says you're still walking with the limp. God's like, I've already healed you. Think about it spiritually. I've already healed you. I've already restored the marriage, but you not listening. He says here, the Lord was angry with Israel and made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the entire generation that sinned in the Lord's sight had died. Listen, y'all, I'm going to keep it real with you. Those online, I'm going to keep it real with you. Listen. If we do not be obedient to God's word, we'll die in the wilderness. Never really fully receiving the life that God wants to give us, because we'd rather have our way needed to. Or here's the thing. Or we'd rather just do it the easy way. Easy come. But God doesn't call his people to comfort. He wants to comfort his people. And so I don't know where you are in your life right now, but God wants to take you out of the wilderness. But first, he wants to provide for you in the wilderness. Somebody catch this, please. Because wilderness seasons are not always bad. It's only bad when you're in the wilderness without God. That's why I want to suggest that you guys would wait in the wilderness for him. Luke 15, this is our text today. Some of it, I didn't use it all, but Jesus, remember, he got baptized. Luke 4, Jesus gets baptized, and as soon as he comes out of the water, right, he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Somebody catch this. The Holy Spirit led him. So sometimes you will go into a wilderness because God is sanctifying you. God is strengthening you, right? But he went into the wilderness with the Holy Spirit. He didn't go there by himself. Some of us be in the wilderness with no Holy Ghost in us. We just in the wilderness without God. We just sinning in the wilderness. We doing whatever we want to do in the wilderness, and we grieve in the Spirit. And our tongues are sticking to the roof of our mouth. You ever been that thirsty before? Can't even make out the words you want to say. But it's about how you wait. See, here Jesus is walking in the overflow, right? He got baptized. He did his 40 days. He comes out and he's healing people. He is preaching the good news. He is making a lot of people mad because sometimes, ooh, I don't want to get too ahead of my text, but sometimes when you walk in the overflow like Jesus, you're going to have some haters. Remember that. You're going to have some haters. So Jesus had some haters. And he had his haters were the Pharisees. And the Pharisees was mad because Jesus was walking in the overflow and he was hanging out with sinful people. Tax collectors. Right? Probably murderers, prostitutes. He was kicking it with them. He could do that because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus knows that they're talking like this, so he gives them this story and he says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them get lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? I don't know where you are today, but you feel like God left you in a wilderness. Catch that. A lot of times we point the blame at God because we are stuck in a dry place. We feel like God left us in the wilderness. But if God left you in the wilderness, I guarantee he is sustaining you in the wilderness. Because you ain't gonna make it out of a wilderness alive without God. I can tell you that. I'm gonna tell you this. You guys remember when Egypt was in the wilderness, right, for 40 years? They had the same clothes on for 40 years, yo. I don't know about y'all, but I need a new pair of shoes at least once a month. I mean, how many of us go to Target? Yeah, we go to Target, yeah, and we spending money on clothes. 40 years, y'all, they were in the wilderness, and their clothes was just fine. God provided. Sometimes it's hard to see the provision of God when you're in the wilderness. But if you're still alive, if you're still in that marriage, in the wilderness, if you still got a little bit of money in your bank account, you're in the wilderness, that is him providing for you. It may not be the overflow that you've been wanting, but we can't just ignore the fact that you got lights on, you got clothes on your back, you got a job, you ain't lost your mind yet. Like sometimes we just fail to see God in the wilderness. And that is his grace and his mercy in the wilderness. Man, the Israelites had everything. Had freedom. Made excuses. God let manna drop from the top. Quail was coming through. They were still eating in the wilderness. This is why you have to wait. See, listen, y'all. As you're waiting, let me make sure I don't even miss my point because I want to make sure I give you guys this hot plate today. Jesus. I mean, hold on to this because the Lord may take me a whole different place. 2020, was it a rough year for you guys? Straight up, it was rough for me. Rough for my marriage, man. We was hanging on by a thread in the wilderness. But it was a point where God will meet you in the wilderness. God gave me a word in the wilderness. Have you ever had a timely word that when you got the word, it shifted everything? We call that a rhema word. I don't know about y'all, but when I'm in the wilderness and God sent a little stream, a word, drink from that stream. Receive that word. Because, well, you know what stops us from actually receiving a word? Pride. This ain't what I pray for. This can't be from God. This is a stream. I asked for a river. God, like, you just... But they didn't realize that it was overflowing from somewhere else. God will give you what you can handle. Some of us is like, no, I ain't. I'm just going to, you know what, I'm not going to drink from God. Like, then you're going to die in this wilderness if you don't take this drink. Y'all, we have to learn to worship while we wait in the wilderness. 2020, I'm telling you, I left my job 5 months before the pandemic hit, y'all. I for sure, I got a word from God. Leave your job. Okay, left my job on faith. 5 months later, we in a pandemic. The world shut down and I'm broke. Did I hear from God correctly? God say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. So wait. I can't sing, but wait on the Lord. And I was waiting on God. And God has some things he needed to rearrange in my family. Sometimes when he's asking you to wait, it's because he is wanting to restore some things in your life, in your marriage. It was a blessing that he called you to wait. Because God's like, if I was to continue to let you go and you wouldn't be married, you would be broke. You wouldn't have the relationship that you have with me. See, so many of us just want to go. We want the thing that God has for us, and that's cool. You should want it. But a lot of times, because we're not worshiping while we wait, it prolongs it. It prolongs it. Man, I was door dashing for 2 years, y'all. I was worshiping in that car every day. I loved it. For one, I was in a broken place because we're at a contrite heart, a broken spirit, but have you worshiping different? And I was worshiping daily, and God's spirit would show up in the car just so thick. I'd be crying out, dropping people's food off at the door, getting back in the car, be hot. It'd be cold in the winter. But I needed to provide for my family. See, God will provide in ways that don't even look like God. But it is God, because God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. That's what God would do. He'll make a way in the wilderness, y'all. And here, Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. Right? This is the prophet Isaiah. He is prophesying to Israel. He says, hold up. And when he comes, he will open up the eyes of the blind. I don't know about you right now, but I feel like the Lord is saying right now to you that your eyes are getting ready to see God move in your life. Right? The word of God is sharp. It is active. It is alive. And many of us just can't see God moving in our marriage. We can't see God moving in our finances. We can't see God moving in our family. I pray right now that the Spirit of God would open up your eyes so that you would see. It says that, and he'll unplug the ears of the deaf. Some of us have a hard time hearing the voice of God. But that string that's coming through, that person that you keep bumping into when you go to the grocery store, or maybe it's that same post you keep seeing and it has some scripture on it and it's speaking to you, but you keep trying to run away from it, but then it hits you at the bottom, and then you try to run away from it, but then it hits you over here, but then you're trying to run away from it and it hits you over here. That is God trying to get your attention. Amen. All I'm saying is he'll make a way in the wilderness. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. Some of us say, we don't want the stream. That word ain't for me. No one is for you. That's your deliverance. God will give you a word. He says, the lame will leap like deer. Now, many of us get stuck in the wilderness. We can't even move. Man, I'm trying. Julian, I'm trying. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to go to church. I'm trying to get my life together. I'm trying. I'm trying. And they stuck. They can't move in their purpose. They see everybody else winning, and everybody else is running their race, and they stuck. But he says, I'm about to bring some healing to your legs. I'm about to help you walk again. I'm about to help you talk again. I'm about to help your ears listen again. I don't know who that is for, but like, this is not just about walking and having the earthly riches of life. Some of us, really what you should be praying for is, God, open up my spiritual ears. Open up my spiritual eyes. I have sight. I'm driving, but Lord, I can't see you. If you can't see him, does it even matter? If you can't hear him, does it even matter? If you can't do and move on the thing that God is calling you to do, what does it matter? You can go ahead and clock in and clock out. You can make $500K a year, and you can make all the money in the world, but if you are not walking the path that God has for you, you are wasting your time. But he goes on to say, springs will gush forth in the wilderness. This is what I want y'all to do. When you worship, he'll make a way. When that way starts to come, here come the springs. Here comes that marriage being restored. Here comes that therapist lined up. Here comes some money in the bank. Here comes the wife of your dreams, the husband of your dreams. Here comes the life that you desired, the life that God showed you years ago. Some of us have had visions from God. Visions. Young kids having visions. Old people having dreams. We've all had them. The only way to get to it is going through the way. Jesus. It's not going to happen the way that you want it to happen. You can save up. And there's plenty of people that can listen to what I'm about to say here. Receive it if you can. There's many people saving up for that little 401k that's not going to be able to dip into it because that's not the thing. You can live for it, but when you get it, you're going to find out that it's not quenching your thirst. You can go on another vacation, but it's not going to help you. It's not going to fulfill you. The only person that can sustain you is him. It's him. So, yeah, let's worship. So if you're in a wandering place, touching my points, you're in a wandering place, because I want to make sure I give you guys this right. If you're in a wandering place with the Lord, let's make sure that you are waiting patiently for the Lord. All right? Wait on the Lord. You're going to renew your strength. It's going to turn into some worship, y'all. And once you're worshiping, he's going to make a way for you. And then once he makes a way for you, it's just like Psalms 23. You guys know that scripture, right? Let me get to it. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths, bringing honor to his name. The Lord wants you to go down the right path because he's trying to bring honor to his name. So many of us sometimes want our name to be great, but there's only one name that is great. His name is Jesus, right? It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. I don't know who that is for, but when you are with your shepherd in the wilderness, you have a Psalm 23 lifestyle. See, let's just be real. We are sojourners, y'all. This world that we keep trying to live in, we trying to make sure we stay as long as possible. Got to keep juicing. Got to keep eating healthy. Okay, yep, still wilderness. We are passing through. And so many people are passing through without the shepherd leading them. And the sheep go astray. And then the wolf comes, attacks them. And then now we bleed and then we leaking. Now we are in an even worse position because we took our own way, because we wanted to live a life of pride, ego. We wanted to be seen in the bright lights. We wanted people to respect us when we stepped into a room. So we said that we were going to take things into our own hands and we were going to provide for ourselves. But as you continue to provide more and more and more, you start to lose yourself. You got lost. We're sheep. We need a shepherd. Unless we will get lost. And it goes on to say here that you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. See, God wants to anoint your head with oil. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you guys in here. Amen. And he wants to anoint your head with oil. Why? So your cup can overflow with blessing. Blessing. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to live a life of lack. I want to be a blesser. I don't want to be a person that is always begging. I don't want to always be a person that is always taking a loan. I want to give the loans out. I want to be a blessing to others. But the only way that can happen is if I'm with him. Whatever's on him will get on you. You know what people say all the time? You become who you kick it with. So let me just keep it a buck then. That means 100, all right? Let me keep it real. For those that don't know that. Some of us, if you can receive this word, you know who you are. Some of us say that we've been kicking it with God, but it doesn't show. You know a tree based off its. And if you become who you kick it with, and if you've been kicking it with Jesus, your life should have some evidence to it. I'm not even there yet. So what I'm saying as we pause, because I know it got really heavy here, everybody was like, are you sure you're kicking it with God? Because he sees everything. He sees the text messages that are late. He sees what you're watching when nobody else is. He sees when you try to shut your screen down when somebody walks in the room. He sees you even though you've got tinted screen cover. Sometimes we be stuck in the wilderness because of our own stuff. God been checking us and we just, nah, man, I'm with the Lord. Are you? Because I don't know. Something ain't adding up. What I'm saying is this. You become who you kick it with. If you really want to be transformed, hang out with him and walk in the overflow. All right, y'all, but the land is plain. So Jesus, remember, he is baptized, full of the Holy Spirit, goes into the wilderness for 40 days. He is tempted by everything that we could ever be tempted by. He passes a test. No one could, but he passed the test. The Bible says that he comes out of the wilderness with the Holy Spirit's power. Overflow. How do we know it was overflow? Because it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Yes, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how he was able to not be tempted and give in. Right? He was tempted, but he didn't give in because he had the Holy Spirit. Now here's the thing. When God empowers you, he empowers you to do ministry. Because Jesus started to walk in the overflow. He was healing people, bringing people back to life. He was restoring things that were dead. He was overflowing. When you are walking with God, after you've been wandering, waiting, then you started worshiping because you started to see the blessings. And you're like, okay, God. And you're like, hey, God made a way, right? And you start to get happy because now, like, you're in a marriage still, but you know you shouldn't have been in it. And then you start to realize you came to your senses. Remember the prodigal son? He came to his senses when he was in a dry place. He was thirsty. The Bible says he came to his senses and he realized that the servants back home even had enough to feed and had enough to give away. When you're in an overflow, when you come to your senses, start to understand that God made a way through the DoorDash, when God made a way through the counseling, when God made a way through the opportunity. Yeah, you didn't want the opportunity, but it was the job that sustained you during that time. When you had to read that book, when you had that friend that came into your life when you was lonely. God sent that person, guess what? He made a way. And it got you out of that wilderness. And now you're walking in overflow. I'm telling y'all. And now you're prepared for ministry. If you're walking in overflow, get ready for ministry. A lot of us get in overflow and ain't trying to share it. They ain't trying to pay for no meal. They trying to stunt on everybody. Look at the new shoes, bro. God, Lord blessing me. Lord taking care of me. That seems like you filled up. Don't seem like you're overflowing. See, some of us are just happy being filled. I'm full with the Holy Ghost. Are you overflowing with the Holy Ghost? When you step into rooms, is there evidence? Is there evidence that you've been spending time with God? Jesus asked the disciples, all right, what do people say I am? Well, you know, prophet, you know. Say, you know, John the Baptist, you know, they just start naming out names, right? And he says this, Who do you say I am? And they said, you're the Messiah for sure. He says, Holy Spirit revealed that to you. You didn't know that on your own. I'm going to ask you the same question. Who does people say you are? Do they know that you're a child of God? Can you step into a room and can they see you loving people? Because the Bible says, you know my people. You know them based off their fruit, but matter of fact, you know them based off their love. See, so many people are like, oh, I'm following God, but from afar, they're like, I don't know if he really is, because they need evidence. When you walk in an overflow, check game, something's overflowing, right? And if I'm walking in that overflow, I'm not walking, but if I'm walking in the overflow, when I'm walking places, you're going to see me leave some evidence. And I can't take credit for the puddle that I just made. I can't take credit for the marriage. Can't take credit for the job. Can't take credit for the restoration that's happening over here in this business. I can't take any credit. Why? Because it's overflowing from the person I got it from. Jesus. He is the overflow. He is the overflow. And when you start to walk in that, you move different, right? So I need to say this, evidence. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, y'all. Listen, this is, in, listen, y'all. Did you know all this stuff is in the Bible? My young fellas, I see y'all up there. Appreciate y'all. I see some of y'all down here too. The Word of God has everything that you need. If you thirsty, go to the Word. You want a business idea? Go to the Word. You need some healing in your body? Go to the Word. The Word has everything you need. And I know the reason why I want to say that, because the world would tell you something totally different. We're going out there in the world trying to find a word, and the word that they said, and on a solid foundation. And so you get a word, and then the word blew in the wind. Watch out for the world and what it offers you. Don't drink from the cup that the world gives you. It's poison. It's making you sick. Oh, Jesus. It's causing the marriage to fall apart. It's causing you to be broken. That's why your pocket seems like I got a hole in it, because you keep drinking from the world. Stop going to the world and come to the one that has more than enough. I got to land this plane. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Listen up. You following God? You overflowing? This is what you can expect in your life. More love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, and self-control. Overflow. If your life and how you live is not transforming the lives around you, you might want to get back into his presence, because you should be overflowing. You should be able to give out more love to those that are hard to love. You should be able to have more patience with those that are hard to be around. You should be able to have more peace in the midst of chaos. Yeah. I say this, Brian, because I love to honor you. Thank you for being who you are. I know you're not God, and I know you're not perfect. So what I'm saying is this. You model what it's like to walk in the overflow. So I'm learning to walk in the overflow through seeing other people walk in the overflow and seeing how they treat people and seeing when he wanted to go ahead and prove his point, but he went low because he knew that God would come through on the back end. And see, many of us just rather be right. We want our opinion to matter. And it's destroying our relationships. He says, none of us are righteous. No, not one. But I guarantee some of us would be like, I know I'm right. Guess what? I'm that guy. Sometimes I want to be right. You know what happens? When I want to be prideful and let my flesh rise up and not stop, then it stops the overflow. Amen. Yesterday, I was getting ready to prepare this message for you guys today. And I'm upstairs, and wifey went downstairs. I sat in the chair, and me and wifey were arguing about some basketball, you know, basketball. And I'm sitting in the chair in the corner. And before I start, I always like to pray. I like to set the atmosphere. Because I like to spend time with my father. I like to try to honor him the best way I can, right? So I set the tone, turn the music on. I start speaking to him. I'm like, Lord, he like, stop. I said, what? He says, you need to text your wife. You need to tell her sorry. We got in an argument. I was still kind of hot because I was like, man, I knew I was right. And then we said some things we shouldn't have said to each other. That was hot. And God was like, I need you to text her. You need to tell her sorry and tell her that you love her. I said, okay. I was obedient, y'all. You want to walk in the overflow? Be obedient. Yeah. I didn't want to do it. My flesh is like, man, she... But I was like, okay, God, let your will be done, not mine. See, because I know what it's like to not have overflow in my life. I know what it's like to walk into a house and there's tension because some people won't put their ego aside. Because pride just shows up and I can't even get to her. I'm trying to hug her, but I can't feel the hug because pride is in the way. Pride hides. When you're living in sin, we like to hide. That's called pride. So we got to watch out for that. So how do? We have to humble ourselves. So the minute I humbled myself, men in here, we need to humble ourselves. The minute I humbled myself, God overflowed all of this, what you guys got today. Kinked up. It was kinked up because of the bitterness that I had in my heart. I was mad. I was frustrated. The quickest way to plug or to stop or to quench or whatever you want to say, to stop the blessings from flowing into your life is by keeping a bitter and broken heart. There may be some people in your life that you have to go back and forgive to get the thing that you've been praying for. There may be some things that you need to confess to get the overflow in your life. There may be some counseling. There may be some conversations you need to have with family members and also with God. Come at him correct. Drop to the knees and confess, Lord, I have sinned against you and you alone, my God, like David, and be restored. So you can walk in overflow. Overflow comes with a cost. Not many people are willing to pay it. But God wants all of his people to live in an overflow. Because when you're walking in the overflow, dead things come to life. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know how many hearts got pierced by this word, but my encouragement to you would be this. Respond. Don't keep wandering. Don't keep wandering. Don't just sit there and be waiting when you know you need to be doing something. Recognize what God is doing in your life and worship him right where you are, in spirit and in truth. The spirit part, we don't have a problem with. It's the true part. Spirit and truth. You worship him, and once you start to worship him, I've seen it over and over and over again in my life. This is why I'm so passionate about this word of God. Y'all think I'm crazy because I'd be on fire, but I promise you this. Where he found me, that lost little sheep, that was me. He found me on the edge of a cliff hanging. Pulled me up. Thank God he never stopped pursuing me. Thank God that he has a reckless love. Not just a little love that your kids give you and your parents kind of give you and your girlfriend. I'm talking about a reckless love that will knock down everything to get to you. Every wall. Even when you keep on running, he's coming after you. Some of us keep trying to run away from God. Let me give you something. Let me give you some good news. And it may be bad news for you, but it's good news for me. He gonna come after you until you stop running. So whatever you think you're going to do, I promise you this, you're going to run out of air before he do. Because he is the air. He is the breath in our lungs, y'all. He loves you that much that he's not. It's going to be year one, year three, year five, year 10, year 15. He's coming for you. So you might as well come back to him. This is a prophetic picture for somebody. We've all been that lamb. Went out astray, got dirty, fell in the muck and the mire. It broke us. And now we're faced looking at a sheep, or not a sheep, but a wolf. And the devil's saying, come on. Yeah. Come on. One taste, one look, Eve, right? One look, one taste. And look who's pursuing you. I don't know who needed to see that picture today, but that is God coming after you today. That's reckless. He is running. He is chasing. He's coming to get you. Hold on. Because your wandering is about to be over, and you're about to start walking in the overflow.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.